The best way to deliver it is by boat, a boat made of lipoproteins, which is what most people are referring to when they measure your cholesterol. This is where the confusion and misinformation around good and bad cholesterol begins. In reality, there is only one type of cholesterol, and it is unequivocally good for you. It is the cargo on the boat. There are, however, different types of lipoproteins, different size boats, that deliver it into the cells. There are the bad, small boats, VLDL, or very low density lipoproteins, and the good, big boats, high density lipoproteins, and large, low density lipoproteins. The big boats carry the cargo efficiently into the cell without issue, and are correlated with great heart health. The small boats don't carry as much cargo, so you need more of them, and they can get jammed up in the shipping channels, the arteries, causing all these little shipwrecks of lipoprotein and cholesterol lining your artery walls. Then, over time, pieces of the shipwrecks can get dislodged, travel to the heart, and lead to heart attacks or strokes. What gives you more of these shipwrecking small VLDL particles? Let me tell you what doesn't first. Motherfucking egg yolks, that's what. In a review of 17 observational studies covering 263,938 total participants, no correlation was found between egg consumption and heart disease or stroke. Surprise, surprise, a lot of evidence points to sugar, particularly fructose and high fructose corn syrup, as the culprit instead. But not only was there no correlation between eggs and heart disease, eating saturated fat with associated cholesterol, like egg yolks, was actually found to increase the size of the boats, turning the dangerous small boats into larger, more benign boats, and positively shifting the ratio of good to bad lipoproteins. In 1994, the official journal of the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology reported that subjects who consumed diets high in fat, 46% of calories, including a high saturated fat intake, increased the percentage of the larger particles, boats, of LDL cholesterol. And yet many of the doctors who are prescribing you medication to lower your cholesterol don't know this. A report by Credit Suisse in 2014 showed that 54% of doctors still believed that dietary cholesterol, like what is found in egg yolks, significantly correlated to elevated levels of bad cholesterol. It is a dangerous association that is just not true, a fact that was implicitly recognized as such less than 2 years later, when the newly released Dietary Guidelines for Americans did not specify an upper daily limit for dietary cholesterol, reversing a long-standing position. The body is smart. When you eat more cholesterol than your cells need, the body adjusts accordingly. So what does that mean for you and me in practical dietary terms? Simple. Whole egg omelets are back on the menu, baby. What fats, besides eggs, should I eat then? Not all fats are created equal. There are bad fats. Fried oils, refined fats, and trans fats, like you find in potato chips or margarine, drive inflammation and make you feel sluggish, and should be limited or avoided. We'll talk more about these anti-nutrients in Chapter 8. The good fats, saturated fats, cholesterol, triglycerides, and omegas of all sorts, are the ones found in unprocessed meats, dairy, fish, butter, egg yolks, olives, avocados, coconuts, and raw nuts, and should be sought out for breakfast. Here is a closer look at five of my all-time favorites that I regularly reach for at my first meal of the day. Whole fat yogurt. First of all, let's get one thing clear. Non-fat dairy of any kind is bullshit. Dairy is comprised of largely three parts: protein, where whey protein comes from, sugar, lactose, and fats. The fats and the protein are the only good parts of dairy for an adult human. The lactose is not, because lactose is just another word for milk sugar. By cutting out the fat from dairy, you are basically saying that you want to increase the percentage of sugar relative to the other macronutrients. Great plan! That's like saying you want to increase the amount of smog relative to your fresh air. Fats make dairy taste good, and they make dairy good for us. There is a reason fat is part of the milk that babies receive. We need it. If you look at the labels for non-fat yogurt, you will be shocked by how much sugar is in there. It's not healthy or lean. It's slow death in a cup. Yogurt has a variety of additional benefits beyond its macronutrient value. Yogurt is cultured, meaning it contains some of the friendly bacteria that we have in our own gut biome. Several studies show that regular consumption of yogurt enhances the function and composition of microbiota and may even improve lactose intolerance. A healthy gut biome supports mood and immune function and can even help battle other pathogenic microorganisms. Pro tip: coconut yogurt for millionaires. My favorite place to find new foods is a grocery chain called Erewhon in SoCal. One day, while snack hunting, I saw a yogurt with a really shoddy label that looked like it was printed on a laser jet printer from 1992. Super Coconut Probiotic Yogurt, it was called, and it boasted 240 billion organisms. That caught my attention. But what also caught my attention was the price tag. $30 for the jar. Even for Erewhon, which regularly charges $18 for a smoothie, that was excessive. Out of sheer curiosity, I pulled the trigger anyway. Despite having extremely low sugar content, it tasted as if ice cream and coconuts had sex. After the first bite, I knew I had a dangerous new habit. And after a week of eating the stuff, I can honestly say I noticed a difference in my gut health. There are a few coconut yogurt brands, including the one from New Earth Superfoods, which I mentioned above. But the coconut cream under the Coconut Cult brand will ship nationwide in cold packs, so you can yogurt like a baller. Avocado. Avocado might be the strongest argument against atheism I can come up with. It's creamy, fatty, delicious, and comes in the perfect to-go packaging. It is packed with saturated fats and 20 other vitamins, minerals, and micronutrients. Not only that, it has fiber too. I like to eat an avocado with lime, sea salt, and cayenne when I want a lush, nutrient-dense snack or a quick breakfast and I don't have time to sit down to a proper meal. Bone broth. Soup for breakfast? You're damn right. It's the perfect way to start your day. Bone broth may not be the miracle cure that everyone claims it to be, but it is damn good for you. When you cook it yourself, you will get a nice layer of fat that will rise to the top of the broth, full of all the vitamins and minerals from the marrow and the bones. It is an excellent carrier for a host of healthy spices and is comprised of collagen protein, which has a unique amino acid profile, along with fats and a bunch of minerals. It contains no sugar and is one of the easiest foods to digest, making it the go-to for anyone trying to correct gut-related issues. Bacon. Bacon worship has gotten a little ridiculous. There are bacon museums, restaurants, candy bars, even bacon-themed art on Band-Aids. Part of the reason is due to the paleo movement, which put bacon back on the plate of high-performance athletes. The other part of the reason is that fats are good for the body, including animal fats like bacon. As long as your bacon has not been pumped full of hormones or antibiotics or cured with artificial preservatives, these delicious slices of hog tummy are a fun way to get some fat and some protein on the plate. Just be sure not to burn the bacon. Sorry, crispy bacon lovers, as the charring will add in some nasty anti-nutrients that we'll talk about more in Chapter 8. Butter. When I was starting my own personal health journey, I was around a lot of people who couldn't stop talking about butter. It was such an appealing concept, I decided I would try to eat butter at every single breakfast. The problem was I wasn't sure how best to do it. I knew I didn't like how I felt when I had coffee first thing in the morning, so blending it with my coffee was out. Eating butter on its own is revolting unless you were a cute little child. So what did I do? I ordered foods that I was familiar with, and I knew went well with butter, specifically pancakes. lots of pancakes. Not for their own sake, of course, merely as delivery mechanisms for the butter. At least that's what I told myself. As for the maple syrup, well, who can resist maple syrup when you have a buttered pancake in front of you? What started as a well-intentioned idea blossomed into exactly the blood sugar spiking nightmare we've been trying to avoid. This caveat aside, butter is great to work into your diet, including breakfast. Grass-fed butter, like Kerrygold, contains CLA, a potent nutrient with its own class of benefits, along with a great serving of saturated fat to fuel you into the day. Cook your scrambled eggs in it, blend it into your tea or coffee, add it to your vegetables with a little sea salt. Syrup cakes aside, think of that old-school Reese's commercial every time you look at good grass-fed butter. There's no wrong way to eat it. Without good fat in your diet, you are going to be setting yourself up for some serious problems. Problems made all the worse when fats have gone AWOL during breakfast roll call and sugar and refined carbohydrates have taken their place. Universal Nutrition Principle Number 3. Skipping is better than cheating. Breakfast is not the most important meal of the day. I don't care how great the tale is you're being told or how old the wife is who is telling it to you. Most days I eat breakfast, but if I cannot gain access to good fats and only have sugary shit and refined carbohydrates at my disposal, it's an easy choice. I skip it. You're going to be far better off skipping breakfast altogether and waiting until you can get a good lunch or a snack with actual nutrients involved, rather than eating a bunch of sugar. If the body does not have adequate fuel from your food, it will pull it from all tissues, including lean muscle mass. This process is so efficient that morbidly obese people have been put on long, medically supervised fasts with no ill effects as far back as the 1960s. Most famously, Angus Barbieri, a 27-year-old Scot who tipped the scales at more than 450 pounds, spent 382 days on a medically supervised fast. Yes, you heard that right. No food for over a year. His body just broke down all the extra fat and protein, utilizing his own nutrient stores for survival. His body metabolized not only all of his excess fat, but also the protein in his excess skin to remodel the svelte young man who was emerging. The result? He lost 276 pounds. This is not just some overly restrictive, zero-tolerance measure I'm advocating here so you avoid sugar at all costs. I'm into living optimally. I'm not a crazy, unreasonable zealot. There is a time and place for sugar. It's just never going to be at breakfast. While the classic breakfast options are perhaps the worst of any meal, the advantage is that it is probably the easiest meal to skip while complying with a principle called intermittent fasting, IF. The basic structure of intermittent fasting is that you do all your eating in an 8-hour period, for most people, noon to 8 p.m., and effectively fast the other 16 hours of the day, some of which you're sleeping through. The idea is that when the body doesn't have food, it starts to metabolize excess tissue, fat, and protein to burn as fuel, which is a good thing. Contrary to the shitty advice that became popular over the last decade, you don't want to be eating small snacks throughout the day. That is only good for athletes training at extremely high intensity. For us mere mortals, you want turnover in your fuel supply, just like you want your body to burn off that belly fat before bikini season. Interestingly, to get this effect, you don't need to fast for long periods. Even better, by simply compressing your feeding window to 8 hours per day, you can get the benefits of fasting and still have lunch with your friends and dinner with your family every day. Caveat: IF only if. The structure of Own the Day is built to accommodate intermittent fasting, and the best way to do it is to skip breakfast. But intermittent fasting isn't for everyone. If you are struggling with hormone issues or already have trouble keeping on weight, then intermittent fasting can do more harm than good. But for a lot of us who are interested in weight management and overall health and longevity, it is worth trying for a few weeks at a time. weight loss. When it comes to health and fitness, the one thing people want most is to lose some fat and keep their muscle mass. Intermittent fasting is one of the few protocols that seems to do both, and it's probably the simplest. You lose fat because fasting works on both sides of the metabolic energy-burning equation. It increases your metabolic rate, which helps you burn even more fuel. Then, on the other side, by compressing the available window for eating, it typically restricts the amount of fuel you are putting into your body. Studies have seen intermittent fasting produce weight loss of 3-8%, a huge amount, and waist circumference reduction of 4-7% over periods that range from 3-24 weeks. That means a 200-pound man might drop to 184 pounds just with intermittent fasting. And for those worried about losing muscle or performance, other studies have found less muscle loss from fasting than from long-term calorie restriction. And as a bonus, growth hormone levels can increase dramatically during fasting, which helps the body repair, recover, and rebuild muscle, aiding in peak performance. Health and longevity. Obviously, being overweight is antithetical to a long life. But beyond just a weight loss advantage, when you aren't eating, the body takes the opportunity to jumpstart cellular repair processes, such as removing waste material from cells. Just as having an oil change extends the life of your car, cleaning out your cells can help extend your own lifetime warranty. Intermittent fasting also reduces oxidative stress and inflammation, which, as we learned in Chapter 2, are some of the leading causes of disease. Prescription. The biggest mindset shift that we need to make is away from the idea of breakfast foods and more toward the philosophy of breakfast as a foundation for a set of nutritional habits. Think of your breakfast choice as an act of love toward yourself for the rest of the day. It was the Buddha who said wisely, "To keep the body in good health is a duty. Otherwise, we shall not be able to keep our mind strong and clear." I'm not going to give you a set time you need to eat or a set amount you need to eat. There is so much fuss about portion size. But if we ask ourselves honestly, we know about how much is the right amount for us and how much is overeating. You don't want to be hungry, but you don't want to feel stuffed either. We'll learn in Chapter 8 how using calories as a measure of anything is a problem. As far as your macronutrient balance, just focus on substituting good fats for the sugar and simple carbs. Eat whatever protein and fiber you like. As long as you add fat and cut the sugar, you are going to be in good shape. It is also generally going to be better to reserve the more complex and hard-to-digest foods for later in the day, since the morning correlates to the lowest levels of digestive enzymes and gastric acid. Eggs are easier to digest than red meat, for example. This is also why I like smoothies for breakfast, as everything is already pre-masticated by the teeth of the blender. If you decide giving intermittent fasting a shot beyond those days when you simply have no quality breakfast options available to you, the easiest way is to simply skip breakfast every day and wait until lunch to have your first meal. But there are other ways. One way is to eat normally for 6 days and fast completely for 1 day. During any fast period, it is fine to drink liquids that don't have calories, and even an MCT, medium-chain triglyceride oil, or coconut oil, is acceptable as a fuel source. We'll talk more about these valuable oils in Chapter 6. Another way is to eat normally for 5 days, and then for 2 days eat a very restricted ketogenic diet. This could include bone broth, butter, MCT oil, half an avocado, some low-sugar green veggies, maybe a chia seed slurry, but not much more. Supplements are also fine to take on fast days, though some supplements can be harsh on an empty stomach. Whichever method works best for you is the one you should pursue. Just remember, it never hurts to give yourself a full break. The four choices for your own breakfast are a classic breakfast with greens, bone broth and avocado, Choco Maca Magic Shake, and an acai breakfast blast smoothie. Head over to the accompanying PDF to see their full ingredient lists and recipes. Now do it. Ideas are like a backhoe that we drag across the brain. The longer we carry an idea and the more times we access it, the deeper that idea becomes grooved in our psyche. When I talk to people in my father's generation, getting them to understand that dietary fat isn't going to make them fat is an incredibly challenging task. They have heard and believed the contrary for decades. I can show them the science, I can walk them through the metabolic mechanisms, I can pull up my shirt and pose down like a shredded manimal, but somehow, some way, they will still leave the conversation unconvinced and they don't know why. You may be feeling something similar right now. How could this be? How could the nutritionist have been this wrong about a core tenet of nutrition like this? Well, it happens all the time. Because scientists are people just like you and me. Except sometimes it's worse. Because when being right about something is your career, you have even more reason not to admit you might have been wrong. Physicist Max Planck famously said, "A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it." This theory was confirmed by the National Bureau of Economic Research when they did a meta-analysis of 452 scientists who died at the peak of their prowess. When the old guard died, there was a flood of new papers from unrelated newcomers that became more referenced, a sign of successful peer review and acceptance, than the papers of their predecessor or living associates. Sometimes it takes mighty death itself to advance the field past the gatekeepers of the accepted paradigm. I don't want to wait that long. Flexibility of thought is one of the greatest attributes any human being can have, scientist or otherwise. It's the ability to take those deeply engraved opinions and overwrite them with new and better information. Our brains are malleable enough for that task. You just have to bring the goal into awareness. So you may just have to rewrite everything you know about breakfast. Wheaties as the breakfast of champions? Maybe champion of falling asleep at your desk at 10:30 in the morning. No champion I know is eating Wheaties for breakfast, or anything close. The peak performers I know eat a breakfast that aligns with the universal nutrition principles we've discussed in this chapter. More good fats. Less sugar, compressed feeding windows, adapted specifically to the needs of their training or their personal goals. Make this change in your mind first, and then your plate second. It doesn't have to feel like a sacrifice, not even for your taste buds. After all, I'm still telling you to eat butter and bacon, right? Three pointers. The abundance of sugar in our diet is arguably the worst thing to ever happen to human health. Being aware of the many forms of sugar and minimizing sugar ingestion is key to managing the blood sugar swings that will throw off your day. Dietary fat and cholesterol have been unfairly villainized. To restore metabolic health and optimize weight management, adding dietary fat back into the diet, starting with breakfast, is essential. Breakfast is not the most important meal of the day. If you don't have good fats and protein available to you, rather than eat a bunch of sugary or starchy foods, you can skip breakfast and reap the benefits of intermittent fasting for weight loss and longevity. Chapter 4. Essential Supplements. To all my little Hulkamaniacs, say your prayers, take your vitamins, and you will never go wrong. Hulk Hogan. With the stress of modern life, even the best diet can use some help. And no, an adult gummy vitamin doesn't count. Not all supplements come as a capsule, and they are certainly not all created equal. You need to have a guide. The supplements you'll learn about here supercharge your energy and health, and come with undeniable scientific research to back them up. They represent the minimum effective dose of kicking ass. Follow these prescriptions and you'll have greater control of your human machine. Getting owned. Imagine yourself living 10,000 years ago. You're sitting around a campfire with your clan, your skin kissed from the sun. The kill from that day's hunt is roasting on a spit above a roaring fire. You will eat the whole animal, organs and all. In the meantime, you're gnawing on a collection of foraged roots, tart berries, and leafy vegetation you found, grown in pristine, mineral-rich soil on which you and your clan cohabitate. Your water came from a nearby stream or from captured rain in a clay pot. You're squatting on your haunches or sitting on the ground, but so is everyone else around you. You're outside, fresh soil under your fingernails from the day's gathering. Everyone is barefoot. The day is over and there is nothing left to do but enjoy the company, eat your food, and gaze at the stars. You will sleep with the darkness just as you woke with the dawn, in rhythm with nature. Fast forward 10,000 years. If you're lucky, you cut up pesticide-aided vegetables and throw them into some factory-farmed eggs that are frying in butter and cheese made from cows fed a steady diet of nutrient-stripped corn. Once the food is done, you have to eat quickly because work beckons. You've got to dash from your climate-controlled home to your climate-controlled office, where you'll be hunched over a screen all day, or maybe standing in one place for 8 hours answering inane questions. You check your phone to make sure you're not already late, and a fresh set of attention-stealing alerts greet you. You finish eating and wash your hands with antibacterial soap before heading out the door. Whenever I bring up the topic of supplements, I ask people to imagine these two scenes, because they point to two of the biggest arguments in favor of supplementation. First, our stresses are more in number and different in kind from what our ancestors faced. We've talked about it earlier, but it's worth repeating. We deal with more chronic stressors than our ancestors did, most of which our bodies are not designed to thwart, and it shows. Our ancestors weren't stressed about staying up all night answering emails. They didn't have cinnamon Pop-Tarts. They didn't take metal-laden pharmaceuticals or put toxic chemicals under their armpits to defluorate that pesky human smell. Second, our environment is robbing us of a lot of the nutrients, minerals, and microbial defenses that used to come into our diets by default. Again, think about that first scene. You were eating animals that fed on wild vegetation full of nutrients. Your own plants were grown in fertile soil, packed with minerals without the need for artificial fertilizer. You ate organs and fats and fish caught from streams. Your hands were dirty from the soil, full of probiotic bacteria and hormetic immune challenges. And the way we live now? We're sterile. We're clean. We have fruit washing spray. It's not bad enough that we've swapped our fats for sugar in the modern diet. A disturbing percentage of the food we're eating is so processed that even insects won't eat it. All that artificiality and hypersterility have robbed our bodies of the natural conditioning and the necessary bacteria that come from being outdoors and eating food that grew in the earth or ran, swam, or flew on it. Instead, we become prey to the bacteria, even sicker, even more vulnerable. Add to that the problems of soil that's been over-farmed and animals that are undernourished, and you've got a recipe for a food supply and an environment that leaves our bodies wanting more. Put simply, it leaves us at a disadvantage. The final reason to take supplements is that even if you have a perfect diet, there are nutrients available that you can't find in the produce section of your grocery store. Herbs, exotic vegetables, vitamins and minerals from every corner of the globe, all shown to optimize performance in clinical trial research. Why not give your body the advantage? Correcting disadvantage. Thanks to an absence of fermented foods in our diet, germophobia, and an over-reliance on antibiotics in medicine to treat mild infection, our gut biomes are a mess. This is no small matter because the gut is our second brain, and it is where 80% of our immune system lives, controlling neurotransmitter and hormone balance, and acting as the gatekeeper to inflammation response. In a way, our gut is more us than anything else, since the 100 trillion bacterial organisms in our guts far outweigh the amount of human cells we have in our body. When you think about the gut that way, a suboptimal gut biome is the essence of deficiency. Even worse, many of us may have started at a disadvantage. 32% of kids these days are born via cesarean section. It is now commonly held that the immune system challenge from commingling of intestinal fecal bacteria in the birth canal is an important initial hormetic stressor to build a healthy gut biome and kickstart infant immunity. And we've removed that first gauntlet for nearly half of our children to their detriment. Additionally, studies show that almost half the people living in the United States are magnesium deficient. That's right, half. And what's the problem? Oh, nothing. Except that low magnesium has been linked to diabetes, hypertension, sudden cardiac death, headaches, asthma, and a lot of other ailments. But you know what happens before any of those more serious situations? You just feel like crap. Your body slows down and it sends up warning signs in the form of irritability, fatigue, loss of appetite, weakness, and muscle twitches. Our ancestors wouldn't have had to worry about the amount of magnesium in their blood, but we do. What happens when an entire species that was accustomed to living outdoors and hunting and gathering suddenly decides that indoor living is the way to go? We all become deficient in vitamin D. That's right, over a billion people are deficient in vitamin D. The list of consequences for vitamin D deficiency feels like a roll call at the sick ward. Depression, fibromyalgia, Alzheimer's disease, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Vitamin D is so closely tied to immune response and hormone function that those billion people are sicker and weaker than they need to be just because they don't get enough sunlight. It's a free supplement, and yet not only are we not taking it, we're actively avoiding and defending ourselves against it. Think about that the next time you go slathering on sunblock with SPF Geisha Face. Vitamin D and magnesium are involved in hundreds of chemical processes and are thus a couple of the more standard vitamins and minerals people know to look to supplement. Does that mean that supplementing with magnesium and vitamin D will prevent you from getting every disease ever? Of course not. But your risk profile increases with deficiency. There are other crucial supplements. Our diets are chronically deficient in fish oil and omega-3 fatty acid. We aren't getting enough B vitamins, nor are some of us able to process what we do get. And then there are the tiny micronutrients from plants too tedious, too bitter, and too exotic to harvest for a meal. Supplements can help you because good supplements work. But there isn't a single pill that's going to fix everything that ails you. Anytime you see someone promise you that, let them know you think they are number one by raising your middle finger right in their grill. What supplements do is upgrade the places in your body that aren't easily optimized by food and exercise alone. Done right, these supplements can bring you better health, clearer thinking, and energy that your ancestors would have envied. Owning it. We are entering the golden age of nutrition and supplementation. Yes, our stressors are many, and yes, we have traveled far from the ancestral blueprint. But we can do things that no hunter-gatherer could imagine. We can research every clinical trial ever performed and every active form of a vitamin on our phones. We can walk into Whole Foods or even easier, shop online and get delivered to us the most exotic nutrients the world has ever produced. The hidden secrets of Amazonian plant doctors, now available on Amazon Prime. In a single formula, you might have traditional herbs from Europe, India, Japan, Siberia, North America, and South America, conveniently blended in a plant-based capsule. all of them studied together for efficacy against placebo by accredited American research institutions. We may have dug ourselves into a hole, but we have a helicopter full of solutions to pull us out of it. But let me be as clear as Crystal Pepsi on one important point before we go any further. To supplement, according to the dictionary and to science and to common sense, is to add an extra element or amount to something. What it does not mean is to replace that something entirely. A supplement is something that enhances or completes something else. It is anything that you do to intentionally boost your nutritional profile or increase performance. I would argue that getting 20 minutes of sun is a supplement. It increases vitamin D. That eating pumpkin seeds before you have sex is a supplement. It increases nitric oxide, which increases blood flow. That dark chocolate is a supplement when you feel the blues. It has 4 psychoactive mood-boosting chemicals. None of these supplements, however, are substitutes. Supplements of any kind, but especially the supplements we are going to talk about in this chapter, are not a substitute for solid food and physical activity. Don't have any illusions. You can't just take a pill and own the day if you eat like a sloth and move like one too. The first move to give you every advantage should always be improvements to diet and lifestyle. We'll cover these in great depth in chapters 8, 10, and 12 specifically. Eating more oily fish can boost omega-3 fatty acid levels. Eating Popeye levels of spinach and taking daily magnesium sulfate, Epsom salt baths, may help improve magnesium deficiency. But sometimes those aren't options, or you're doing those things and it just isn't enough. Bridging that gap between deficient and optimal is a good reason to take a supplement when regular daily methods aren't enough. Even really successful, high-performing people are often handicapping their own potential just because they aren't supplementing. Take mixed martial arts legends Donald Cerrone and Tyron Woodley. Donald has nearly set the record for the most wins in the UFC, and Tyron defended his UFC championship belt at the highly competitive welterweight division multiple times. They are at the top of their sport. They are in peak physical condition. They work with the best trainers in the world. They use the best gear. And they are people who need every edge they can get because the guy in the cage with them is trying to take their money, their health, and their ranking by pummeling them into submission. And even though Donald has a soft spot for Budweiser and hot tamales, these warriors prepare like the champions they are. When I first started working with Donald and Tyron, they were as anti-supplement as it gets. I wasn't surprised. Both of them had supplement sponsors in the past, but what they tried didn't make them feel any better. With the combination of artificial ingredients, unhealthful binders, strange colors, and unnecessary fillers, most sports supplements are awful. So these two pros figured they were better off going without. And with stories all around them about companies spiking their products with illegal ingredients to boost effectiveness, they felt that they were safer facing a drug test without any of those things in their system. Those are all valid reasons not to take supplements. Except that it meant they were leaving serious athletic potential on the table. When they agreed to try the protocol we designed for them, it was like a switch flipped. Donald went on a huge win streak, blazing through the 170-pound division and putting on some of the most impressive fights and finishes of his career. It included an incredible 4-hit knockout combination straight out of a video game that went viral like chlamydia through a freshman dorm. Tyron started his supplementing right as he began training for a rematch with one of the most dangerous strikers ever to fight in the UFC, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. He said he felt on fire, the best he'd ever felt in training camp. And it showed. His cardio was impeccable, and he defended his belt successfully. If I was a betting man, I'd say that when you're reading this, he still has that strap around his waist. Fundamentally, whether you're an MMA fighter or an M&A attorney, Supplementing is about taking control of what you need to own your day. And what you need, no matter your goals, your situation, or your drive, always comes down to two common threads: combating mineral and nutrient deficiencies and increasing performance. Essential supplements. Throughout this section, we're going to talk about the major areas that everyone should focus on. And then in the prescription, we'll get down to brass tacks on how to get it done. Greens blend. Everyone agrees that we need a balanced spectrum of vitamins and minerals in our diet. And the best way to do that is to eat a varied diet. Consume the bountiful diversity of earth-grown foods. Shellfish like oysters, grass-fed beef, leafy greens like Swiss chard, and brassica vegetables like cauliflower, on top of a whole complement of spices and herbs. Of course, it isn't always easy to eat this way, even with the best of intentions, which is why it should be no surprise that the lion's share of our dietary deficiencies is precisely in the area of vitamins and minerals. As I see it, you have two supplement choices. You can take multivitamins, which traditionally are notoriously hard to absorb, or you can reach for a multinutrient green food mix, which will cover a lot of your nutrient bases. A good greens blend is going to be nutrient dense and should have a good mixture of freeze-dried foods containing small amounts of many vitamins and minerals, as well as enzymes, antioxidants, and other beneficial stuff you'd probably never put in a salad. Herbs, fruits, grasses, leaves, and maybe even a flower or two. When at all possible, I always recommend going with a quality greens mix because you can be sure the vitamins are being delivered into your system in a way similar to how they would arrive in normal food. Which is to say, they aren't synthetic. They're natural. I liken taking the greens blend to raiding the shelves at Home Depot when you're trying to maintain your house. When the body is looking for something to repair itself, it'll go to the shelves in search of the best tools, and if the right nutrients are available, it will make the proper repairs in the most effective manner possible. If it doesn't, it will simply pull from the discount bin by the register and use a glue gun and duct tape and hope for the best. By taking in these greens, you're giving your body the run of the store. While every greens blend is different, and therefore not a lot of studies have been done, there is no doubt that supplementing with vitamins and minerals is beneficial. If you don't get enough of these nutrients, you are more likely to be sick, violent, and all other manner of unpleasantness. As stated above, the problem with some multivitamins is that the form of the ingredient used is sometimes dissimilar to those found in food. So when it comes to a multi, going green is usually the way to go. Magnesium. Just like calcium, magnesium supplementation has been shown in clinical research to assist with facilitating healthy bone mass, the performance of athletes, supporting men and women during exercise, even improving blood sugar regulation through diminishing insulin resistance. But what you are going to notice is less stress, less static, and less antsiness throughout your body. You're going to notice everything relax and get a little more quiet. It's probably why the most popular magnesium supplement in the world is simply called Calm. Magnesium is involved in thousands of chemical reactions. In the Home Depot of nutrient supplementation, magnesium is the entire hardware section. There's something there that connects to every aspect of your body temple. Krill oil. Supplement omega-3. The reason some of your breakfast options today contain chia seeds, flax, and grass-fed beef or dairy is that these are some of the simplest nutritional sources of omega-3 fatty acids. The other, and probably the best, is oily fish. If we lived in Japan, that would be in your breakfast as well, but instead we'll save it for lunch. Chia and flax are not the easiest things to find on the menu, and fresh, organic, oily fish is equally difficult in many parts of the world. So in lieu of that, you can supplement your diet with fish oil, or even better, krill oil. I remember the first time I took a higher dose of krill oil, somewhere in the 5-gram range. I took it at night, and it felt like the oil's essential omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA, along with its intrinsic antioxidant astaxanthin and its brain-healthy nutrient phosphatidylcholine, were running through my bloodstream like a fire hose, just blasting out all the inflammation in my body. It works because these hard-to-find fatty acids balance out the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio, and as a result, reduce normal systemic inflammation. In Chapter 2, we learned about inflammation, but here we're more concerned with how it feels. Simply put, it sucks. It feels like inner heat. It can cause your joints to ache and your brain to be a little fuzzy. Why krill oil and not fish oil? Studies show that with krill oil, you get the same metabolic effects at lower doses. Translation, it's just more potent. And as a bonus, krill oil has even been shown to help the ladies on their menstrual cycle. Since I am clearly unqualified to discuss the menstrual cycle, the abstract of the study says that krill oil is significantly more effective for the complete management of premenstrual symptoms compared to omega-3 fish oil. Supplement vitamin D. Thanks to our friend the sun and our skin's remarkable ability to make a ton of vitamin D out of its ultraviolet B rays, vitamin D is free for all. Usually all you need is 20 to 30 minutes of direct sun exposure to your skin. Unfortunately, not all sun or all skin is created equal. 20 minutes of sun for one person in one place can be an entirely different and potentially worse experience than 30 minutes of sun for another person in another place. The sun puts us in a bit of a predicament that way. Too much sun is bad for the skin, but not enough sun means we don't get adequate vitamin D. So how do we measure? How do we find the line? Typically we don't. We can't. Even if we could, it would just confirm something we already know. More often than not, we are significantly deficient in this critical vitamin that is important for over 200 bodily processes, concerning everything from optimal mood to bone health. Vitamin D supplementation has been shown in clinical research to help reduce body fat mass, maintain muscle mass and reduce fractures, and correct mood-related issues. Kevin Estrada, a professional hockey player, was in a devastating water plane crash that ended his career. He lives in British Columbia, where it rains all the time and there's a lot of cloud cover, and began to feel run down. His body was still broken, he had low energy, and his mood felt off. Vitamin D fit all the criteria of a supplement that could really help him. When he got his blood check for vitamin D, of course Kevin was deficient. He started taking vitamin D supplements, along with its ride-or-die companion vitamin K2, at 5,000 micrograms of D a day, and sometimes even higher. That's a relatively high dose, but it started to turn things around with his mood and his energy levels. It was as close to an instant fix as he'd ever thought possible, and it's the kind of supplement most of us need if we want to consistently perform at our best. Supplement probiotics. I take a lot of different probiotics for a lot of different reasons, but the one that saved my ass, literally, is a yeast-based strain called Saccharomyces boulardii. When I traveled to South America, and particularly Peru, I'd spend my time in the Amazon rainforest. As much as I enjoyed those trips, there was one factor that sucked some of the joy out of it, from the back. I'd return from each trip and spend the next 2 weeks getting reacquainted with the finer points of porcelain toilet production as traveler's diarrhea made its way through my system. As careful as I was with the water, inevitably I'd consume certain foods and vegetables, and some nasty bug would get into my GI tract. At one point, I'd had enough. I loved, and maybe even needed, those trips to the jungle, but I didn't want to come back and have to count steps to the bathroom. I started researching probiotics to support my gut, and I came across S. boulardii. I brought some with me on my next trip to Peru, and it was miraculous. I had no issues while I was down there, and no issues upon return. The studies back it up. Whether it's Crohn's disease or irritable bowel, S. boulardii is the shit for problems with your shit. Napoleon once said, "An army marches on its stomach." He wasn't just talking about what went into the soldiers. He was as concerned with the amount coming out. And while we are not locked in a land war with Russia yet, and you are probably not regularly contending with Montezuma's revenge, we are at war against nutrient deficiency. I can assure you that you're only going to make it as far as your gut takes you. Not only is the gut largely responsible for our immune system, and perhaps even our personality, through the regulation of hormones and neurotransmitters, more simply, it is responsible for digesting and disseminating our fuel source from food. A lot of weight management issues have to do with the gut. A meta-analysis of studies showed significant improvements in obesity with probiotic supplementation. If you want to feel more like yourself again and get that human machine humming from the inside, this supplementation regimen is essential. There are also important impacts on regulating mood. The burgeoning field of psychobiotics, in which targeted gut treatments are being explored to assist with all sorts of medical conditions, is one of the hottest fields in medicine. It is my personal opinion, along with that of the psychiatrist Dr. Dan Engel, that the role of gut biome transplants, in which a healthy person's microbiome is transplanted and seeded into another person, is one of the frontiers of medicine. It's why you're seeing the increasing use of probiotics, yogurts advertising the cultures they have, the trend toward fecal transplants, and the chatter about the gut, everywhere. Best-selling books, blogs, news stories. The gut biome is hot, and with good reason. Active B vitamins. When Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, or a young Aubrey Marcus, starting shooting guard for Westlake High School, needed to play a basketball game with the flu, there was one vitamin to reach for, B12. B vitamins are involved in everything, from the conversion of nutrients into neurotransmitters like serotonin to proper mitochondrial function. You can feel it when you take a good B vitamin. There aren't any questions. You will have more energy, more resilience, more bounce in your step. Think of it like this. I've got your back, B. Not everyone handles the absorption of B vitamins well, however. A good portion of people, for instance, struggle to uptake the essential B vitamin folate, or folic acid, and supplementation with a methylated version, like 5-methyltetrahydrofolate, can make a huge difference. One study showed that people suffering from major psychiatric conditions like schizophrenia or depression were deficient in folate and benefited from methylfolate supplementation. Generally speaking, the methylated form of vitamin B12, methylcobalamin, is more easily absorbed by the body, so pay attention to your body and make sure you supplement with B vitamins that are packaged the best for your system. Pro tip, IV vitamin therapy. IV vitamins have been used in emergency room care for years. Ask any medical student or young ER doctor how they deal with a bad hangover, and they will give you two words, banana bag. They are referring to a standard IV solution bag that contains many of the vitamins and minerals you need. The advantage of the IV is that it bypasses the gut, ensuring that the vitamins are delivered into the blood. A lot of places have popped up extending this service, not just to the sick, but to the healthy or the hungover. One of the best is a program developed by functional medicine wizard Dr. Craig Conover called Fast Vitamin IV. It offers not only the usual suspects, but a whole host of amino acids to further assist with recovery. Whether it is a dose of vitamin B12 to give you additional energy and pep, or glutathione to help restore your liver, or just a plain old banana bag to cover your bases, IV therapy is only going to get more popular. And as the price goes down, the only question you really need to answer for yourself is the juice worth the squeeze? The emptoriest of all caveats. If you're not taking supplements, you're missing an opportunity, plain and simple. But taking the wrong supplements is just as bad, and sometimes it's worse than taking no supplements at all, because not all supplements work. We have all tried some that didn't do shit. Some are not strong enough, some have herbs that don't do what they say, or vitamins that won't absorb. You can spend hundreds of dollars on things that basically create more expensive pee with no performance gains to show for it. The key is to find a good company that makes quality products. I personally take products from several other places besides Onnit, including Sun Warrior, Health Force Superfoods, New Medica, and Live On. Unfortunately, our industry is full of brands peddling a ton of garbage, so it is extra critical for you to choose wisely when it comes to supplements and the companies that sell them. Believe me, I understand the potential for elephantine bias in those words, as a supplement maker myself, but it doesn't make them any less true or the need for me to say them any less urgent. This isn't supplement supermarket sweep, after all. We can't have you just running down the aisles of your local GNC with your arms out, scooping bottles into your basket without reading the labels and figuring out who made what's inside. Here's what you need to know and look for when you're shopping around for each of the supplements we've just recommended. Avoid supplements that make medical claims. Supplements are technically categorized as a food, not a drug, by the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. Foods can benefit your health, but drugs treat medical conditions. Therefore, a supplement company cannot advertise that its product is able to fix a medical condition or a disease of any sort without the bitch slap of justice eventually finding its mark upside their head. Remember that product Airborne, which was supposed to keep you from getting sick while flying or teaching elementary school? Well, those exaggerated promises cost its makers to the tune of $23 million. If a supplement is claiming a miracle cure for a real medical condition, you know at least one of two things. The company making it is either about to get sued or is run by amateurs too small to get noticed by the FDA and too insignificant to be penalized by the Federal Trade Commission, FTC. Both of those are red flags, especially the latter. Amateurs can produce supplements and get them on the shelf without actually following the rules. It's kind of like those unlabeled cookies wrapped in saran wrap at the counter of the gas station. Who makes those things? While this informality occasionally results in delicious cookies, it's not what you want for supplements. Supplements must be controlled by a variety of FDA checkpoints during the development and production process. First of all, every ingredient needs to have something called GRAS status, generally recognized as safe status. If it's not on the GRAS list, it shouldn't be in the formula. Second, there are strict laws concerning how the food supplement is produced. This is called Good Manufacturing Practice, GMP. Every supplement needs to be produced in a GMP-compliant facility until it is fully packaged and sealed, preventing contamination. These facilities are regularly audited by the FDA and additionally audited by the manufacturing brands. Finally, every supplement is tested for microbial and metal contamination twice before it's released to the public. Each ingredient is tested individually, then the finished batch is tested. You can be fairly confident that supplements making medical claims have not cleared these rigorous regulatory hurdles on their way from some dude's basement to your kitchen counter. Avoid companies that don't perform randomized clinical trials on their own products. If a company hasn't performed any clinical trials, it is a sign that either they are cheap or they don't believe their stuff works. As a point of reference, we spent over $400,000 to get our nootropic formula tested twice by the Boston Center for Memory against placebo. There was plenty of research on the ingredients already published, and in Chapter 6, you'll read about one in particular. But we wanted to do more than just suggest that our product would work. We wanted to test it in the most rigorous method possible, randomized clinical trials run by someone who had no stake in whether AlphaBrain worked or not. That's important. It's so easy for great marketers to convince you that a product will help your memory or help you lose weight. It's a lot harder to show, with evidence, data, and testing, that it actually does so. While it usually isn't feasible to run tests on every single product, if a company hasn't run independent clinical trials on any products, they are not for you. Watch out for supplements filled with caffeine. One of the big ways those great marketers make you think that what you're swallowing is doing what they say it will is by juicing